All right. This episode of Enough About Me has a request from a guy who's been my producer for a while here. As, you know, sort of a fill-in guy. He's been producing it every single day. He's doing an excellent job, Mark Moroso. And he's going to come on here because I'll just let him start. He'll go first here. We have a couple of guests lined up today. You'll hear the conversation. I'll be curious to hear what you think of Mark. I'm still not sure what I think of him yet. He makes me uncomfortable. Whenever I'm with him, I literally move my body like away from him as far away as possible. I'm as far away in the same room with him as I can be every single time. So we'll talk a little bit about, you know, what he brings to the table. My guess is he's not going to add much. My guess is he's not going to come across as very intelligent or witty, but he's well-meaning. He has a big heart. And like I said, he's exactly like Clyde. He really is. And I think he's potty trained. We'll see. And then we have Riggs on from Barstool, host of Foreplay podcast on Barstool as well. I spent a lot of time with him at the Super Bowl when I did those shows at Portnoy. Riggs was part of that group. Big, big golf guy. That podcast is huge. It was number one in sports all last week. So we're going to talk about my favorite sporting event. Truthfully, the only sporting event I give a shit about anymore. I care about the NFL, I guess, a little bit in the playoffs. I don't watch the NBA. I don't watch the NHL. I don't watch baseball. I don't care, really. I care about the Masters and golf and football, and that's really it. I don't give a shit about anything else. Good luck with the Red Sox. Good luck watching that 9-hour game in 12-degree weather, you know, for 97 times in a row. This is a fucking year. It's endless to me. Boring, 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 boring. And Riggs, we talk a little bit about Portnoy, Barstool, the Masters, which is the greatest. If you don't care about golf, whatever, it's two guys bullshitting. I think you'll enjoy it. Moroso was enjoyable as well. I think he did his best here on Enough About Me. All right. We're here on Tuesday. I get Tuesday at 12:30. Taping a couple of podcasts this afternoon. We're looking for a producer again here on the Enough About Me or Kirk Minahan show, whatever it is. Mark Moroso applied last time. Interviewed and helped out with the podcast till we hired our previous producer, Dave Cullinane. That didn't work out. So Moroso is back in the mix now and came into the office, Carlson's office, who works for the show, and said something about how if we do a podcast, for 10 minutes, he said that that I would, what was the quote?
I said I can convince you in 10 minutes that I should be your producer. If
you
put
can
me
convince
on.
Me in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you tweeted me the other day at 1:21 on Monday. A week ago, I'm gonna say this, then leave you alone, which you didn't then do. Hiring anyone else for this job but me will be a mistake. And if you put me on your podcast for 10 minutes, I'll prove it to you. K, bye.
That was
you do a lot of K's.
Well written.
And you also do a lot of like the thumbs up emojis and stuff that I'm not really a big fan of, but
okay.
That's okay. So here's Mark Moroso, and you have exactly 10 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. So first of all, I'm going to preface this by coming my strongest foot first. My strongest foot first.
You're putting your strongest foot first.
That's right.
Not forward. You're putting it first.
I'm putting it first.
Okay, good. Go ahead. I want to hear this. Go ahead.
I'm the funniest guy in the building, you know?
You're funnier than I am?
Yeah, okay. I am. I'm funnier than you.
Okay, there's been no evidence of this yet.
That's okay, because I'm quiet around you, because I don't want my funniness to overshadow.
Hair on your neck.
What, I got some, growing out the good luck beard.
For what?
For the job.
That looks hideous.
I'm hoping I get the job. I'll shave if you give me the job. That's not a problem.
How many days is that?
We can arrange this.
Is so gross. It's like a clump. It's like the hair you have between on your breastplate you have.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
That's when you got a lot of testosterone. That's kind of results of what you get.
This is some of the humor? When do you
we're just getting started here. I'm getting comfortable.
Let me hear it.
All right. Well, I'm a reactionary kind of funny. You know, give me, you know,
yeah,
you
got
to set me up.
Set
you know how to do this, right?
Yeah, that's not really your job as a producer. You're supposed to set me up and stay out of the way.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But no, you're funny. I mean, there's nothing wrong with you.
Thank you.
I told you the other day, your podcast, you made me laugh.
Right.
That's a lot of praise.
And I responded that I don't need that affirmation from you. Just make sure the fucking sound sounds okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
But, you know, side note. Yeah, so I'm the funniest guy in the building.
No question. I mean, you've told me that twice, and now I believe you. The first time, like 30 seconds ago, I didn't believe you. In the subsequent 30 seconds,
great.
You've been so funny that I don't even think it's a debate. And by the way, when I leave the building, this building, like, there's so many fucking funny people in here that it's really, like, you're funnier than Dale Arnold, and you're funnier than...
You got it.
You know, the salespeople, and you're funnier than Lou the Engineer. I say, you are Carlin-esque then.
So you want me to say that I am a funny person in the building.
It's now been 2 minutes. You have 8 minutes
left. I haven't
said
anything.
You're 20% into your
10-minute. All right, anyways, okay. I'll got to keep going here. I'll keep cruising through. Right. Not only am I the funniest guy in the building, that's just a side note,
sure.
But...
Side note you've mentioned before.
Side note, but let's put it this way. How about I get to... I want to ask you a question.
You can ask me whatever you like.
All right, great. Would you? What would you give me in his evaluation? Evaluate me to this point as your producer.
Well, you're not my producer.
Oh, as your interim guy.
You're not even that, really.
The guy who turns on your mics. Thank evaluate
you. Okay. me. You are a nice guy. You're simple. I don't think intelligence has been a companion of yours so far in your life. But you seem to have a good heart and you're loyal. You're kind of like Clyde, my dog Clyde, in a way. Like you're a dumber, less funny Clyde with like more hair.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's nice. Actually, you know who the person you remind me most of?
No.
Actually, my wife.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife. And it's mostly like in the beginning I was chasing her and she'd be like, no, I'm not interested, but I'll see you tomorrow. And then we'd arrange something. We'd see each other the next day.
But this was a one of these ones where you flew over like on a catalog and met her, correct?
She actually is from a third world country.
Yeah, so
that's a
fact. But I thought it was one of those ones you paid to marry her.
No, well, my parents arranged for the payment.
Why did you meet this wife?
I can't afford. Why?
No, not why. How?
I was doing a study abroad program in Prague, Czech Republic.
Okay.
And we sat next to each other on a plane.
And she.
That's all it took was whatever
God.
It was.
How
6 hours.
Was the flight?
6 hours to go over on the.
I mean, you can tell by now I'm uncomfortable spending like 3 minutes with you.
You know, you like me.
I think
you like me.
I do like you. I do like you. You're a nice guy. But I think you are starting to, like, I think you're a talker, though.
I am a talker.
Yeah, and I am not, as you can tell, like, I am not a socially, I'm not really in the conversation.
Yeah, I can tell,
I remember, like, one time when you were, during the first process, you asked me if I like Game of Thrones or something.
Yeah, dude, you said no. Oh, what the hell?
I was like, what are you trying to talk to me for? Just, like, I want to almost just say, just fucking make sure it sounds okay.
Those are called connections.
I'm not interested in those.
Yeah, you try to make those with people that you want to work with.
I understand.
So I was trying to initiate that.
You gave.
And remember the Japanese book that I asked you about as well.
I remember.
Another time I tried to connect with you.
I remember that was downstairs in the old building. Mm-hmm. I was walking out and you came up to me. You first, correct me if I'm wrong. You kind of said that you wanted to be a producer of the original podcast as well.
Yes, I did, yep.
When Ben had it.
That's right.
So why were you trying to take it when Ben was there?
No, the way it went down was Ben had just left.
Uh-huh.
And I got all excited and I waited for you. I stalked you in the parking lot because you have your little post production meeting with Jerry.
You did.
I did. And I waited like 20 minutes for you to come out there. And I ran up to you and I was like, Kirk, I want to be here.
Did you get the sense that I didn't want to talk to you then? I mean, even now, I'm actually leaning on the side of the chair that's like, away from you. Like,
but it's because you're trapped, buddy. You said you'd give me 10 minutes. So this is my time as far as I'm concerned.
That's
keep
exactly
watching the
right.
clock. Keep watching the clock.
It's like second grade. I've never seen a clock go. I think it's going backwards now.
So,
I checked.
So I've always tried to make – I've wanted to be your producer for a long time. I want to work with you forever. If someone came up to me and said,
so
hey –
So I. I've been saying that to people forever. I have.
Hey, yeah, look, you're not so bad either. You're kind of funny,
Is Mark
too.
Morrow Sr. still alive? Mark Morrow Sr., is he still alive?
Yes, he is.
Is he humiliated with his son's a radio producer?
I would imagine, but
what
he
did
doesn't,
he do?
He doesn't participate
What's
in my
story?
Career, so
– I could. Well, how would he participate in your career, Mark?
Well, he doesn't say, like, hey, how's your career going,
That's not participating in your career. That's asking about
okay,
it.
He doesn't
participating
do that.
Would be, like, helping you out.
He is a stoic, tough, like he owns a construction company.
Where is that located?
That's in Belmont, Massachusetts.
Is that where you grew up?
That's where I grew up,
okay,
yeah.
I grew up in Winchester.
I know, we're very, very similar.
So you went to Belmont High?
I did, yes.
Belmont High graduate from Belmont who's a radio producer.
Yeah.
Well done. Okay,
is that a waste of intelligence?
No, there's no intelligence.
That's why I'm here.
Yes, I don't think that's the biggest issue. So yes, you recommended a book to me and you told me this long story and I remember thinking like, I just done them. I was like, can you just fucking. And I could always see you. I see this from the halls back then. There were people who I could tell wanted to talk to me. And, like, that's not a great. Like, your instinct should be, does he want me? No. And just keep walking.
Yeah, but then I never get to talk to you.
But I never talk to you anyway, even when you talk to me.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I know.
Even now, I don't really talk. This is the longest conversation by far we've ever had.
So ask yourself, why is this kid banging his head against the wall?
I don't know.
I don't even know either. I just
because
want
I'm,
it,
because I'm an immensely talented personality.
Yeah.
And I do a good job. I mean, I'm great at what I do. And you want to be part of it.
Listen, I'll tell you one step further. It's not only that, but you actually have a real voice. And I'm not fanning your flames and trying to flatter you here. But a lot of places in this building are just kind of talking. You do a good impression of Nothing Radio.
Thank you.
And a lot of people around here really aren't talking about anything. And it's the same jokes recycled over and over again.
I'm aware.
And you're actually talking about something.
Well, thank you, Mark.
And now, although I don't have any intelligence, I'd like to think I have a sprinkle of intellect. And I am attracted to your ability to actually speak about
things. Is there a point where you're going to release the sprinkle of intellect on us? Or no?
I'm building up.
You're
but before I go, you do have to let me – you always do the mailbag things, and I always had one question. And I want to preface it by saying don't be insulted by the question, but you do have to let me ask the question.
No, I don't.
Okay, will you let me ask the question?
What's it about? You can ask whatever you want.
So listen, I've always wanted to ask this, your mailbag. Are you afraid at all that in your career you'll be perceived as like, well, people told me not to say dick or jerk.
Who told you that?
Yeah, my wife. Don't say that. Don't say dick or jerk. But I didn't say you're not a dick. You're not a jerk. You're not.
Do you have a translator in your... Who, like, does she say it to you? Do you speak her language or does she speak English?
She speaks English. Her mother, whom lives with us, does not speak
English.
Yeah, is that correct?
Yes.
Mr.
Exactly
Fordham?
Right. That's exactly right. Yes. She lives with you? Your mother-in-law?
We live in a two-bedroom, myself, my wife, my one-year-old son, and my mother-in-law.
Where is this?
This would be around the corner in Brighton.
Your father-in-law is deceased?
No, he's around too. He visits about every other day.
Where does he live?
He lives in Brookline.
They're divorced?
Yes, they're divorced, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Do they like each other?
They're civil.
Okay, were they born in America?
No, they were born in Albania, and my wife was also born in Albania.
So your wife does she speak with an accent?
Yes.
Okay, does your mother-in-law, does she speak English like around the house? Your daughter, they speak, what language is that?
Albanian.
Albanian.
Yeah.
You speak Albanian.
I mostly understand things.
What's your son's name?
Mark.
Mark Moroso the Third.
Yeah.
Okay. What a legacy. I don't know if he's going to be able to live up to it. It's like being, Frank Sinatra Jr.
Yeah.
That sounds like a horrific dynamic.
Dude, it can be tough. But we started in a one bedroom.
Dude doesn't help.
Oh, okay, dude. I'll get rid of them. That's right. Emojis, just, dude, bro. I'm just telling you.
If you want the job, I'm just letting you know.
No, I appreciate the advice.
So is your mother-in-law like super hands-on? Is she pushy?
Oh my god, dude, are you kidding me? You just told me. All right, I'm focusing. Super hands-on. I cannot do anything properly as far as taking care of my son, cleaning the house, cooking. I'm constantly being corrected. I have someone over my shoulder at all times, and my wife likes to pitch in too. So,
what does your wife do for a job?
She's an administrator.
Okay, so she's a breadwinner in the.
By far,
she has insurance and all that stuff.
Yeah, we live on her. Yeah.
Okay. Any more kids in the future?
Yeah, I want one, but I keep telling her. I say, babe, if I get the Minahan job, it's weak because we're married. You know how that goes. If we get the Minahan job, I'm getting you pregnant.
Oh.
That's what I said.
That's going to be the celebration?
Yeah.
You think it'll be a big paycheck coming? Like, I think you're mistaken about the pay for this job. What do you do? What's your job now?
I'm the assistant producer on the Hillman Morning Show.
Okay.
Among other sides.
So what's wrong with that? Why can't you just do that for a job?
It's just the daily news cycle. It's just like, a teacher harassed a kid in this town, and then you do it again on Thursday, and then you do it again on Monday. I've been there for 3 years, and I've been an assistant for 3 years, and maybe it sounds like I'm bashing
the
Hillman Show.
Who's the producer, Mike?
Mike Hsu, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not bashing the
Hillman
Show.
I was on that show.
You were on that show. Yeah. And that was another time where I said, I'm going to go up to him, and I'm going to say, I want to be your producer, and you came and you went, and I didn't say anything, and you probably enjoyed that.
I didn't know you were there.
But I really wanted to talk to you.
I didn't
even
know you were there. I don't think I saw you that day.
Yeah, I know. I was hiding. I was like, he's not going to.
Okay, so when in these 10 minutes do you start? What's your big moment? Like, what's the. Dick, what were you saying? The question. I'm sorry.
So here's my question. Oh, yeah. So are you afraid that you'll be perceived as a dick or a jerk by so many people in this industry that you'll isolate yourself and in a few years you'll just have nowhere to work and nobody.
Talent, and there's always a spot for talent. Nobody else. Basically,
do you really think that, though? Because
yes.
A lot of people are talented and they don't get work.
Not. Like, who?
Like, me.
Who? No, you're not. Like, I'm not trying to be a dick, but no, like, maybe
okay,
I am.
So let
but
me
nobody,
do it.
Nobody is as good at this as I am right
Let's
now.
Reverse
nobody.
It. Let's reverse
Mark,
it.
They're paying me to not be on the radio right now.
Yeah, that's true. You got that chip. You're right.
They need me in this company because they know I'm the most talented guy in the company.
Okay, so let me reverse the question. Do you think talent equals employment in this
industry?
It
does industry? For me.
It does for you.
Yeah.
But is that the norm? That's not really the norm.
But I'm a different level of talent. I'm not saying that. Yeah. I'm not being arrogant, but I'm a different level of talent.
Yeah,
like,
that's
it's a
fair.
Different,
that's fair.
You know, I could go and be some shithead midday DJ at some mixed radio station or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I have no interest in doing that. I don't want to. People say to me all the time, don't you want to go back? Don't you want to go back? People don't believe me. I have no desire to go back. The idea going on today and talking about the Red Sox opening day, I would actually rather jump in front of a train. I really would than talk about the. I am so much happier not doing morning radio in that toxic atmosphere anymore. That's all. And I contributed to the toxicity of it, but now I'm away from it and I feel better. I actually feel pretty good. I say this all the time, and people are probably sick of me saying this. I'm enjoying this. I get to talk to whoever the hell I want. You're part of it. I mean, does anybody bother me?
No, right? I bother you.
But I do the show. I book a guest. I have, we're doing three interviews, counting you, I guess. Three interviews today. We'll do a couple more tomorrow. And we'll see where we're at.
So you're driving that car into the wall. When you're on EEI, you're like, I'm getting kicked off. And I know because you talk about it on your podcast. Well, you'd say all the time. You went on, well, you had Greg Hill on and you said, yeah. I will be off before you are, Greg.
No question. Well, at that point, that was.
So you didn't care. You were
no,
like.
No, I care. But at that point, it was there was no, right. We were so deep in a bunch of stuff. That was, we weren't going, it's best for everyone. It's best for me. It's best for the guys in the morning. It's best for everyone. I talked to Jerry on the phone the other night. He said to me, I was surprised. Jerry said to me, I actually feel better when you're not here now. I like the show with me and much better than I like the show with me and you. He said that to me. I was surprised. Kind of hurt my feelings, but what are you going to do?
I mean, I it sounds flat out wrong.
I mean, it's what he said. And he's, whatever.
Absolute fabrication.
What do you mean? On his part?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he said it. I mean, I'm not lying. He said to me, I like the show with Mutt better than the show with you. It's easier. There's no controversy. We don't have to worry about people like listening. He can sort of listed all these like reasons, which I totally understand.
Is he a prideful guy like in the sense where he has to be like, I don't even miss you and I'm fine.
Yeah, he's sort of like, he's like, oh, I'm glad you're gone. You know, fuck you. But that's okay. It's fine. I still love him. I love Mutt. I love Jerry and Ken and Chris, and I wish them well. Have you talked to Ken and Chris about what's it like to work with me every day?
Yeah, and no one wants to talk to me about that.
What do you mean nobody wants to talk to you about that?
Well, I'll say, I went to, some people, and I said, hey, listen, I really want to work with Kirk. Do you have any advice about how to do it? And I'll say, like, I got answers like, well, Kirk's Kirk. And I go,
who said
yeah,
that?
Yeah, okay.
We don't say people. When you talk to me, you tell
everybody.
All right, everybody.
Fine, I'll tell you. Ken Laird said that to me.
He said Kirk's Kirk?
He said, oh, Kirk's Kirk.
Would you talk to Curtis?
I didn't talk to Curtis.
What kind of prep are you doing for this job? Are you going to be interviewed again? You have to interview people again. Are you going to do better than the fucking butcher of a last interview you gave where you were like,
yeah, dude, I'm so I get nervous
in
around
the middle
you.
Of that interview, I was basically like, I just want this guy out of here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe that works in my favor because you seem to be sort of like attracted to, people that you disagree
you
with.
You kind of look like Baba Booey a little bit. You have that going for you.
Dude, I can do this. What I really want to ask you is, I can do this. It's like ridiculous to think that I can't be the best possible producer for you. What is it that you think is going to walk through the door?
You did butcher your first real shot at this when I had Stackpole in here live. I mean, you didn't know what the fuck you were doing.
But that was out the gate. I'm better now. I'm learning.
Well,
I'm, not,
I'm just saying.
Listen,
I mean,
like Belichick says, I'm not an error repeater.
You're
I make
not?
A mistake, and then we don't make it again. We move on.
Why'd you have a guy in here today? What was going on?
Well, I can't. Sometimes, I study politics. I didn't study freaking communications.
Okay, you're a radio producer. You're a radio producer.
No, yeah, so there's settings with these stupid boards, and you got to know which setting to drop.
Oh, yeah,
I don't
you
work
gotta,
at
yeah,
Nick's. Oh, and that's another
you're
thing.
Fucking, but you're the producer here.
That's
right
another
here.
Thing that works for me is if we ever have a problem in this building, everyone, unlike you, is my friend. And I can go say, hey.
It seems important to you that like people like you. Which is not a quality I like in a producer. You can say what you want about Chris Curtis.
It's important
Curtis.
That you like me.
You can say what you want about Chris Curtis. He didn't care if anybody else hated him as long as I liked him. That was it. He was
right.
My dog. That's
no, I don't
important.
Care. I don't care that people want to be my friend.
I see you out talking to people in the hallway. I hate that. You're a social guy. You're not going to change. It's who you are.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not angry. What do you want from me?
I don't want you to be angry. But I want you to be focused.
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 Okay. Yeah, but you can't say that I've been unfocused in doing this for you.
No, I didn't say that. But you're also, I think, this is what concerns me. We're going to be honest with each other here. As you apply, this is basically an audition for the job, right?
Yeah.
And I want feedback from people listening. That's fine. You can tweet me or Mark.
Can I say my Twitter too?
No.
Okay.
You go ahead.
It's Mark Moroso Jr. That's MarkMorosoJr. Thank you, Kirk.
It's a grabber. I think sometimes you're afraid to tell me that you aren't around to do something.
Yeah, I want to
be
made available to you.
Well, just be honest.
24/7.
Yeah, but it's easier for me if I know when you're actually available.
Right, right.
But
well,
I'm not going to be mad
at
you.
Yeah.
If I've been pretty, like when you text me, you say, I haven't given you any shit.
No, dude.
I'm like, good, good.
I forgot the dude thing. I like you, Kirk. You're
oh, good. That's
you're very,
to me.
Yeah. No, but what I mean is, people have whatever they have to say about you. When I met you and I've worked with you, you've never been mean to me. You've been nothing but professional.
You've tried
to me.
Hard. I have no problem.
Cordial. You get back to me. You don't really show up and go, "Hey, Mark, what's?"
That's
you don't really
gonna,
smile.
It's not going to happen.
You're not really a
you're not
smiler.
Gonna
hear
that. It's not going to happen. But like you said to me, "Hey, Mark the Third has got whatever a fucking dentist, a doctor's appointment, or whatever. My wife's. You fucking. I understand. I have family too. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Just tell me that."
Okay.
I'm not going to be like, fuck this guy, he doesn't care. I can tell you care already. We've established that. So don't worry about that part. I just want honesty. That's all. Honesty for me and a producer is pretty important quality. That's all I'm going to say. Without getting into specifics, it's important to me.
Okay.
Good. You got a couple minutes. What else you got? This is it. I mean, I'm going to give you 3 more minutes.
Okay, cool. I'm going to bang some questions out that I have for you here.
Okay, go ahead.
So I wanted to, do you know my age or do you have a guess?
I do. Yes, I do.
How'd you find out my age?
Because I know everything about everybody. You're 31.
I'm 31. That's correct.
Yes.
And so I also wanted to know.
The sooner you get to the point where you realize I know everything, the better off you'll
be. Why won't you just make me your producer? What's the problem?
What do you mean, what's the problem?
Well, what I'm saying is, what do you think is going to walk through the door?
Well, I mean, if you were me, wouldn't you at least have... First of all, I think you actually...
You did!
I think you actually have to then make the job public again.
You're right. You're right. So that's the legal thing. You're right.
We interviewed somebody yesterday, by the way.
Okay.
You look upset. Look at that. Look at that.
I don't want to hear that.
You actually got a little red.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that.
He was excellent. He was really good.
Oh,
he's
fuck
like
him.
Not super social. He kind of leaves me alone. Didn't talk to me. Didn't bother me. Didn't
he's going
to
burn you, bro.
Didn't recommend books to me.
He's
going to
stab you in the back. First chance he gets.
You have a real shot at this job. I would say that. I would actually say right now you're the favorite for this job because you're loyal and you're stupid. And I could tell I can make fun
of
you.
I'm not stupid.
Okay. You're really smart. It's really. What else? Go ahead.
So what's the holdup? And then I said, what are you waiting
for?
Waiting for to walk through the door? I want to know. I don't have what? What is it that I don't have? You say, yeah, but I want this. I want that. All right. I mean, can I ask you what Dave had over me?
I think we were more impressed with, not more impressed. I talked to you after the Dave thing. You came in.
Yeah, I know. But you said you guys clicked.
You look like you were about to cry after that.
Yeah, I was about to cry for days. I was about to cry.
Let me
tell you something. There was a job open for WAAF Afternoons for a show. It's okay. Still open. I applied for it. And there was this job.
Well, why'd you apply for it then if you want this
because
job?
Because I want to have a second kid. I want to get my wife pregnant.
Right.
So, you know, I was talking to my wife. I thought when this was published or whatever, posted, mm-hmm. I said, oh, this is a part-time job. Kirk does a podcast. It's like 4 hours a week. I swear to you, I thought it was part-time. So the other one was full-time. And I said to my wife, I said, don't get mad. But between these two jobs,
what's your wife's name?
Livia.
Livia.
No O, just Livia. Between the...
Why would they be... Oh, Olivia.
Olivia,
so.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
People screw that up all the time.
No, they don't. Go ahead. Nobody cares. Go
between... I said, listen, between the full-time WAAF job
yeah.
and the part-time Kirk gig, mm-hmm. I said, I would rather work with Kirk part-time. She almost chased me out of the house. I almost had to sleep at my mother's house that night. Because she was like, what the hell's wrong with you? We need money.
Mm-hmm.
But... that's where I was at, dude. I was like, I don't give a shit. I want to work with Kirk.
Totally.
And that's where
it's
I'm still at.
It's a full-time job. This is a full-time
this
job.
This is a full-time
only going
job.
To get bigger,
yeah. So. Everyone who's coming in to apply for it, be noted that it is, in fact, a part-time job.
What?
What?
It's not a part-time job. It's not a part-time job at all. Plenty of people, I saw the application list the other day. There's about 100 applicants, Mark.
Yeah, but people are coming back. Haven't you already seen a batch?
I saw you.
You're looking to look at the second batch?
Well, the new people, it's been a couple of months. Yeah, new people have already applied.
So good. I'm number one. I was going to ask you, where do I lay in the second batch?
I'd say you're in the top five.
Do you know how many opportunities I've gotten because I was second or third pick? I have no shame, bro. I would happily be.
What do you mean? In your life, your opportunities to do, like, what have you accomplished in life?
Let's put it this way. Anything I've accomplished, it was never the
what
first.
What have you accomplished?
I have a beautiful son.
I understand that. But
and a beautiful wife.
Saying, wonderful. Professionally, I'm saying.
Professionally, this
well, how
is.
How was your son the second opportunity? What do you mean? I don't understand.
I don't either. That was
somebody else?
Weird. That was, I guess.
Did
nah,
wife
no,
get
no,
pregnant
just
with somebody
one kid.
Else?
I haven't okay. heard back. The height of my professional career.
Uh-huh.
Is right now.
There's no question.
I crawled my way into this room, bro.
You said you,
bros. I got.
You said you're willing to run through walls.
Yeah, first I said into, and I was like, that. Go through the wall.
So you're gonna run through a wall at some point.
Yeah, man.
Okay, you got 1 minute. Go ahead. Let me hear the pitch. You got 40 seconds before we make this call.
All right. Just listen up, America. I'm the funniest guy at Entercom. There's a chance I'm the funniest guy in Boston.
You said nothing funny in these 20 minutes.
Kirk and
nothing.
I obviously have a beautiful dynamic with each other.
There's real chemistry here.
And whoever's listening, give Kirk the feedback on Twitter mm-hmm. that I should be the producer. Because you're not, perfect 10 prom date is not walking through the door, Kirk. Okay?
What are you then?
I'm
like six?
I'm the seven who can cook. Okay.
Okay? Yes.
I'm the seven who can cook, mm-hmm. and that's all I'm asking
definitely
for.
Definitely eat. No question about that.
But listen, whatever happens.
Oh sure, yeah, no, you're right.
Whatever happens, uh-huh. I've truly enjoyed the time I've spent working
so
with
have
you.
So have I. I've enjoyed this as well.
It has been a real experience.
I've said you're part of the family now.
Deep down, I know deep down in your core. You want to invite me over to hang out on a weekend.
God, there's no, that will never, ever, 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 ever happen.
In the next year.
Don't be one of these people. I've dealt with these people. Don't think if you work with me, we're going to become friends.
In the next year, we will sit down to lunch together.
If you work
at a
with
restaurant.
Me, where would you like to eat? Where do you picture us eating, Mark, in your mind when you put this fantasy
pho.
Up?
Do you like pho?
No.
Have you had it?
No. I like sandwiches. I eat fast.
Kirk, for you. I'll eat a sandwich.
All right, I'm going to go do this podcast now. Mark Moroso Jr., you can follow him on Twitter, @MarkMoroso Jr., is that right?
Yes, thank
Mark
you.
Mark Moroso, JR, at Mark Moroso, JR on Twitter. Send him some feedback. Me as well. That's the first interview. We'll probably interview, what, here, 10, 12 producer candidates, Mark? Is that a good idea?
People
get to know them?
Once America hears this,
you think it's over?
It's a wrap, baby.
All right. All right, I got Riggs from Barstool here. He's going to do a quick Masters preview with me. First of all, the last time we were together is the only time we've ever been together in Atlanta. I want your the Barstool Radio experience for me still remains. When people ask me about it, I'm still not sure what the fuck went on. I don't know what's going on half the time.
Yeah, man. Look, I agree. It's pretty chaotic up there.
We're
doing the live. We're doing the live thing, too, so there's, like, a live audience. Sometimes we're playing off the audience. You and I feel like we really bonded over, like, chirping some guys in the audience who were pretty much involved to just kind of, like, suck Dave's dick the whole time.
So there's a lot of really... that. But you have the hardest role of all, like, because Portnoy has the worst ADHD in history, and you are essentially kind of the host of that. And, like, it's like, sometimes I could tell you just, like, fuck it. I don't even care. Like, what? Do whatever the fuck you want. I give up.
That's pretty much it. I mean, most of the time, look, Dave's Dave. He's going to run. Half the time, like, I'll introduce a topic, and he goes, this is going to be a little bit off topic, and then he just talks about whatever the hell else he wants to talk about. So you could argue that it's the easiest job in the world, because no matter what I say, Dave's just going to talk about what he wants to talk about.
Yeah, I had a weird, like, I enjoyed it. I had a really good time. I liked you. I liked Tommy. Obviously, like Dave, and, like, you know, the guests are, some of the guests suck. Some of the guests are good. So, like, I know you're super guest reliant that week. Like, I felt like on my end, I'm so used to being sort of the alpha or whatever on, like, the show that I'm in. It was weird to be, like, in somebody else's world, if that makes any sense. Like, I was trying to figure out what I was supposed to do half the time.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Like, I feel like you're kind of a mic one kind of guy.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're on there and it's like you're mic two or three. And when you're up there with Dave, especially in front of Dave's crowd, it can be kind of weird. But I could tell, Kurt, you kind of evolved into, like, I'm just going to chirp everything that's going on here and kind of make fun of the whole thing.
Right.
I think that's the perfect spot to live.
I can never figure out, like, you know, so I obviously know who you are. We didn't really know each other and we talked for a while. Like, what is your, how did you wind up at Barstool?
So I started reading Barstool probably in 2008, 2009.
Where are you from?
From St. Louis originally.
I
was a big hockey guy growing up. I became really good family friends, just to give my quick story, really good family friends with Jack O'Callaghan, who was on the 1980 Miracle on Ice team. He married one of my mom's sorority sisters. We were a huge hockey family growing up, but hockey kind of sucked in St. Louis at the time.
Right.
So he always said, like, man, you got to apply. I did pretty well in school, so you got to apply to all these New England prep schools. I just thought that was for, like, kids who were in trouble, that they got to send away to, like, boarding school.
It happened to me, yeah.
It ended up, I applied to a bunch of them. I got into one.
Where's that?
I went to Choate.
Choate, okay.
I went to Choate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then from there, I got recruited and ended up playing hockey at Harvard. I lasted, like, a year before I got kicked out for a year because my grades were so bad. Ended up getting my shit together, played hockey for a couple more years, ended up graduating from Harvard, and while I was there, I was a huge fan. I became a huge fan of Dave. I worked a sales gig for several years after school. Once Barstool got bought out and became a little bit more of a serious company, I kind of had been running my own blog. I emailed Dave a bunch of times, a bunch of links. He eventually responded. And next thing you know, I was kind of writing for Barstool. We started the golf podcast about 2 years ago. It's grown ever since, and now a big part of my job is talking golf.
Do you enjoy having Portnoy as a boss?
Yeah, I do. Dave and I get along pretty well. I don't know that everybody can say that, but for whatever reason, whether it's our senses of humor kind of line up, it's good. Dave's also, like, he's very different as a boss than he is as kind of a buddy. He can be a hard-ass of a boss, but you kind of just deal with it and accept it, and I think most people on the planet consider that they have, like, a dickhead as a boss sometimes, so that's not really a problem. And at the end of the day, I mean, we get to do really cool stuff. I get to talk golf during the day. When we do radio, I do 3 hours of radio a day. We can pretty much say whatever the hell we want. We're trying to make people laugh. When we go to certain places, if I go to a golf tournament, people know who I am. People invite me out to play golf courses, and none of that would exist if Barstool didn't exist. So there's obviously positives and negatives to every gig, but at the end of the day, Dave and I get along really well. I've been reading his stuff and following his videos since, like I said, 2008, 2009. So having him as a boss can, you know, overall, it's a pretty damn cool thing.
It seems to me, maybe I'm wrong, there are people, Portnoy's one of them, I'm one of them, I'm not obviously a Barstool, but I consider myself not part of the family, but sort of, you know, where we have the same sensibility. KFC seems to be more like this, who are kind of like, you know, the fuck Deadspin, fuck this guy, fuck that. You don't strike me, maybe I'm wrong, as that kind of guy. It seems like you stay out of the mudslinging, or is that not right?
No, I think that's pretty accurate. I think, too, like, for the most part, the guys that do a lot of the mudslinging at Barstool have been here the longest.
Right.
So they've kind of got deeper gripes and deeper grudges and have been kind of in the trenches for a longer period of time. And they were kind of in the trenches when Barstool was three or four guys kind of slinging mud across the internet and really using any fight that they could to sort of elevate Barstool's, you know, kind of footprint and kind of defend what Barstool stood for. We definitely probably get more hit pieces about us now, but I've always been a kind of guy, like, if Deadspin writes a negative piece on us, like, I don't understand why we even care. Like, who gives a shit? They can write whatever they want, but we're not reading it. And whenever we go out anywhere in the world, I mean, we just came back from Minneapolis, we got a packed bar, when we go to the Final Four, you know, every person we see is like, hey, man, love your guys' work, love what you do, you guys make me laugh every day. When I'm in my fucking cube of misery and I get to listen to 2 or 3 hours of your guys' podcast, it's hilarious, you guys keep it real. So, like, outside of the kind of echo chamber internet where people are bitching about everything that happens, everything that moves, I just don't really care, because in the real world, most people don't care about that. And if you're not a fan of us and you're more of a big fan of, like, Deadspin or something, like, good for you. You can absolutely go consume that stuff. We don't really care. We're very successful at what we do. They're not as successful, but good for them. Like, they can do their own thing. So for me, I just kind of, for the most part, man, I like to stay in my own lane, cover the stuff I like to cover. We try to make people laugh. There's going to be times where you got to defend yourself, and I'm all for that. But for the most part, I'm pretty happy doing what, you know, kind of doing our own thing.
You know, for me, what was interesting is spending that week with you guys and talking to Portnoy a little bit and paying attention more. Like, I was so wrapped in the day-in, day-out, like, host your own radio show bubble for, you know, 5, 6 years, where it was my whole life. And I did a podcast on the side and was into it, but didn't matter as much. And I thought, if, you know, if I get the radio show taken away from you, if I leave, I'm going to lose relevance or people are going to care less. And spending that week, and obviously Barstool's a different animal, but now doing this all the time and getting the feedback I get on it, like, I've sort of had this realization, well, it's different. It's a different audience. It's a different group. But I find, like, the loyalty from people who listen to podcasts is in a way greater than radio, because it's just a way more intimate experience. You listen to it at work. I listen to it on runs. You listen to it when you're lying around. Like, I don't know. The connection to it is, to me, even different than doing a radio show.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, too, a lot of it, like, radio, like you said, it's kind of appointment. You catch it if you can. A lot of times people catch a portion of the show, or they listen to it when they're driving. They're
right, you never listen to a portion of a podcast, if you like. You listen to the whole thing.
Exactly. And you seek it out, right? Like, you got to go through a couple steps. You got to subscribe to it. You got to know, like, every Tuesday or every Thursday, my boys, they put out the podcast. And it kind of gives more of a, like, when you're listening, you feel like you're in the room with those guys or those gals or whoever's doing the show. So it definitely does. It gets, like, you get a very loyal fan base. You get people who are into the segments. They understand how every show starts, where it climaxes, where it ends, and they kind of, it becomes part of their daily routine, weekly routine, whatever it is. So, yeah, it's definitely a different audience than doing radio, which is awesome. I think it's great. I think podcasts are fucking awesome.
Yeah, Foreplay podcast, obviously, which is huge. Huge golf podcast. I listen to your golf podcast. I listen to No Laying Up podcast as well. I don't know if you listen to that or not. Is that a competitor? Are you okay? Am I allowed to say that? That's okay?
No, I would say we're probably natural competitors. I think our shows are, if you listen to both of them, you know our shows are very different.
They're way different. Way different.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we're both, right? We're both, like, young crew. I think they're very good at what they do. I think we're very good at what we do. But I do think, like, there's probably, people ask me that a pretty good amount. I would just say there's probably just a natural competitiveness because of the demographics and whatnot. And I've run into those guys a couple times, introduced myself, said hi. And all that, but outside of that, we don't really cross. No, they're all right. There's the one guy, Tron, used to chirp me pretty hard on Twitter, and then he showed up to a Barstool event, and we kind of went back and forth and hashed it out, ended up having a couple beers together, and ever since then, we've been totally cool. We mix it up a little bit with a couple of their guys here and there on Twitter, but again, I think probably for the most part, just being, you know, natural competitors, whatever you want to call it, I think we kind of stay away from each other. But
Riggs, they've never been number one on fucking iTunes, have they? So fuck them. You have.
Look, we
fuck them. Just say it. Fuck them. Fuck them. Who cares?
We've had a big week.
Huge week.
Foreplay brand. We had a huge fucking week. We don't really need to go after anybody else right now.
Oh, you don't punch down. I like that. You don't punch down.
I'm just talking about the week that we had. It's Masters week. I'm looking forward, but Jake Owen thing, man, you were kind of messaged me a little bit about the Jake Owen thing. It's really funny because
wild.
You know, you get these big names in the golf world when you're a golf podcast, right? Like, we had Justin Thomas on. We've been ragging on his ass for a year. We've been calling him soft as shit. We've been calling him like a little bit of a pussy out there. He comes off like a baby.
He does. And he totally does. Yeah.
We thought that was going to be crazy numbers. We had Bryson DeChambeau on. We thought that was going to be crazy. We even did like a 3-minute interview with Tiger. We had Bubba Watson on, who's kind of got that same thing.
That's right. You talked to Bubba right when that Super Bowl week. We were talking about that, right?
Yep. Yes. Yeah, I was there Monday of that week and played golf with him. And like, you get all these big guys in the golf world. You think like that's really going to elevate us? And then we have Jake fucking Owen walk in. Country music star. A lot of people, unless you're in the country, don't even know who he is.
I saw you gonna have Jake Owen on, and I was like, well, all right. I mean, I guess I'll listen to it, but I don't really. I was like, I'll probably bail out halfway through.
Yep,
and I was wrong.
About the interview,
right? And I mean, forget like the, you know, we can get like, you know, you had the crazy Spieth Mickelson story, which went viral, and you know, has over a million views. I saw on your pinned tweet, and it was crazy. But like, take that one away, and it's actually still a really good interview.
It was incredible.
Yeah, like, he was good. Like, he was good.
You were like, dude, I'm going to bail out halfway through this. I said that to our booking girl. I was like, because pretty much every guest we've gotten in golf, like I've gotten myself, we get golfers, right? Like you just become entrenched in that world. You kind of network with agents and players, and like that's the life that you live. You're trying to get guests. So I was thinking, I even told our booker, I was like, yeah, I know he's scheduled for 30 minutes, but I'm planning on doing maybe like 15 minutes. You know, he's played in the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am with Spieth. Maybe he'll have a cool tale from that. Like, he played in a Web.com tour event. He kind of chirped the guy in the middle of the event while he was playing on Twitter. Like, whatever. Dude, he sat down, and he was just an open book. Like, you can tell he came in with a loaded gun, safety off. He said right before, he's like, man, I love Barstool. I love what you guys do. I love that you can just say whatever you want. Man, we turned on the microphone, and like, we almost didn't even have to ask him any questions. He just started firing from the hip. We were like, holy shit. Well, and you're right, man. Like, the Wayne Gretzky story, the Sergio story.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, yeah, he was awesome.
And you guys do have, like, you know, there's a sort of, and I used to see it with Stern when he would do this back in the day. Like, you guys do have this sort of advantage that, listen, Barstool was earned, where I think some people don't know. Like, you know, we talked to Herschel Walker. He had no fucking idea what was going on. But, like, nothing against him. But, like, he doesn't, you know, no fucking Barstool from a hole in the wall. But there are some people who go over there and they're like, you know, I mean, I know I feel this way when you get there. Like, you know, I got to dance for these fucking guys. Like, I'm, you know, if I'm going to be on Barstool, it's a different audience. It's a different crowd. They, like, you know, if somebody else has Jake Owen about that wedding, you know, some random fucking golf blog or whatever, he may not give that answer.
It's true. And, you know, and I think, you know, you do this a lot, too. You get good stuff out of people because you make them feel comfortable. You make them feel more like they're just kind of shooting the shit with their buddies at a bar or over a cocktail, nightcap type of situation. And so that's huge. I mean, another credit to kind of Dave and Big Cat, KFC, and those guys that have built Barstool to get the reputation that it's had, where some people walk in or they call in and they're willing to just talk about stuff in a way that otherwise they just never, ever do. And even, I mean, we get tons of people responding to that tweet about Jake Owen who are just hardcore country fans who are like,
right.
I got to listen to this podcast now because I kind of like golf too. And if they're getting like my guy Jake Owen to talk about this kind of stuff, which I've never heard before, they must be able to do this with a lot of different people. So it's funny. You get people like, people can't just all be these buttoned up stiffs that give like stock answers in interviews. That can't be a real fucking person. They can't all be robots. And so I think that if you kind of do it Stern or it's Barstool or it's Kirk Minahan, like when you're able to get people in that environment and open them up, it's amazing how many stories. Like that story of Jake Owen going up to Phil Mickelson at Jordan Spieth's wedding, that would have never been told if it weren't for something like that.
Right.
So it's cool. It's funny how it works, and it's, dude, you just never know what you're going to get out of people. Like, you never know. I would have never guessed Jake Owen.
All right, so I will be, by the way, strutting around the Augusta National golf course on Friday, making my way around the Heavenly Grounds for my second straight year. I'll be following my guy Fred Couples around, by the way. He tees off at 12.
Oh, Freddie Boom Boom.
He tees off at 12:10 that day, 59 years old. I'm betting on him to make the cut. So I'm going to, I'll ask you, first of all, simple one, I'm picking Justin Rose to win. Who are you picking?
Look, Rose, about 2 months ago on the podcast, I just came out and said I'm picking Justin Rose to win as well.
Oh,
Jesus. Had just an incredible run. Now, that's changed a little bit. He hasn't played
great
as well lately. But if you look, I mean, Justin Rose, he's the number one ranked player in the world. His last four Masters finishes, tied for second, tied for 10th, second, tied for 12th. He sure won that Masters in 2017 where Sergio
won.
Like he was doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was such a
classic. That was his.
Sergio collapse.
Right.
He's in the trees on the right on 10. He's in the trees on the left on 13. He somehow makes par and then all of a sudden goes crazy and eagles 15 and somehow wins in a playoff like he should have won there. So I think Justin Rose, you know, he's a great pick. One guy that I'm crazy about that I feel like nobody's even mentioned his name is Brooks Koepka. I mean, the guy's won three of the last six majors that he's played in.
Because Koepka's got a weird thing where he's lost a lot of weight. He's like, something's going on with him. Something's not right. He's lost like 25 pounds. Did you see that?
Yeah, it always feels like he's kind of going through something. He does carry kind of that chip on his shoulder about how he never gets like the media love.
Yeah, stop bitching. Don't be a fucking bore. Then that'd be my advice to you. Don't be a big bore.
I agree.
You know,
I couldn't agree.
Read a book too. Fucking yeah. Read a be interesting. Watch a fucking documentary or something. What do you think? Do you think Brooke Koepka's ever read a book in his life? Neither is your boss, by the way, who told me in the podcast that if books were invented after television, no one would ever read a book before. So he may be right. But.
He also, I mean, credit to Dave that he tweeted out on Thursday last week that he thought Minnesota was the most underrated city in the country.
Well, he's right. The people. Does anybody ever say Minnesota's a great city? No. So it's an underrated city. That's an excellent point. But you're right. Koepka's, what's funny is Koepka's tried to be a little more controversial, but you know it'd be funny if he rolls in and wins this fucking Masters and he has four, Brooks Koepka has four majors? If he won this?
It'd be outrageous. Like, if he all of a sudden entered that realm of guys who were, if that, like, Rory, Spieth, Phil Mickelson group who are all of a sudden knocking down the door to doing the career grand slam.
And he has how many tour wins? Like, six or something?
He's got five.
Five.
He's got three majors and two PGA. It's crazy town.
So you like him. Okay. Trying to think. I'm thinking we'll get to the obvious guys in a second. But if I'm looking at the guys with the Masters, for me, it's always guys who play well there. Casey, who's playing well this year, has played well there before. A guy like Leishman, Mark Leishman. I could totally see Mark Leishman on the leaderboard on Sunday. It's going to be guys like that's the beauty of the Masters is like you know there's going to be two or three of those guys. Like I joke around about Fred Couples because I've loved him forever. Would I be totally knocked over shocked if Fred Couples was like four shots out of the lead on Saturday morning? I really wouldn't.
Not at all.
Augusta's like, crazy.
If we're talking, like, if you're trying to talk about, okay, you're out there, you're doing a Masters pool, getting kind of to the second half.
Yeah, give me like the C&D players.
Yeah, if you're trying to find a guy who's, like, not going to kill you, who will make the cut, get you a couple points, we always talk, the internet, like, golf Twitter likes to talk about Charlie Hoffman's always leading the Masters after
first
Thursday.
Round, right.
Yep. Yeah. He's out there with, like, his green glove.
Yeah, green hat. He shoots 66 and then shoots 75.
Exactly. Right, Every time. So I think he'll get you kind of some sneaky points. We're huge Kevin Kisner guys now.
Yeah, what's the Barstool-Kisner relationship?
Phenomenal. Kis is our guy that we're closest to on the PGA Tour. The reason for that is because Kis, when you watch him play golf, is the most boring guy on tour.
He is.
He's just the most cookie-cutter, like, white, like, professional golf
joyless
guy from, you know. Right, like Aiken, South Carolina. He just looks like the most cookie-cutter guy out there.
Yeah.
And then, like, 2 years ago, one of his buddies from Aiken just kept messaging us, was like, dude, you have to have Kis on the show. He's a really good dude. We're like, all right, we had him on the show. He's laugh-out-loud funny. He's, like, kind of a southern, like, hillbilly. He makes fun of himself. Yet at the same time, he's one of the best players on the planet. I mean, I think at the time that we interviewed him, he was probably ranked number 18 in the world or something. He just won 2 weeks ago down in Austin. He won the biggest event of his career. He's from Aiken, which is about a half hour away from Augusta, so he's played there a bunch. He draws the golf ball. He does play. He doesn't have like a high ball flight. He kind of plays a little bit of a low draw. So if Augusta's playing a little tougher, I like Kis, but he's also one of the most consistent guys in tour. I mean, we had a long-running joke for about 2 months on the show that Kisner finished T20-something like six starts in a row. It was like T27, T25, T23, T22, T25.
Right.
So again, if you're kind of looking for somebody, I think he's 60-1 to win the Masters. He putts lights out. Everybody talks about Augusta's greens. He's a phenomenal putter. He drives the ball very consistently. And at Augusta, with the way that course works, the way that you have to draw the ball. If you think about the second hole, you think about the ninth hole, the tenth hole, you think about the 13th hole, you think about all the different tee shots that you have to hit where you have to draw the ball. Kisner draws the ball, putts lights out. He's 60-1, so I think he's another good value guy.
You know what's a guy who I like. I root for him. He's one of these young guys I root for. But I've been worried about for a couple of years is Spieth, who like has a little whiff of Ian Baker Finch and David Duval, just a little bit, because I think now I'm telling you, 2 years from now we could be previewing this. He could be ranked second in the world, or he could be ranked 192nd in the world. Neither. I'm serious. I know, you know, last week he had a shitty front nine on Saturday, then went crazy in the back nine, but he seems so jittery to me at times and so mental that I feel like he's on the verge of, you know, fucking losing his mind. That being said, if he won this weekend, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I'm actually sort of concerned about Spieth's, you know, early midlife golf crisis here. And all it does also, by the way, when you see, like, you know, McIlroy had sort of a rough year before he got going again. You know, you see, like, you know, you haven't heard from Justin Thomas that much in the way. What Spieth's going through right now, all it does is illustrate, by the way, how fucking insane Tiger's run was in his prime. How it's just, you know, it's mind-boggling. But anyway, that's a long way of saying Spieth to me. Like, I know he has a record that's almost unmatched at Augusta. I wouldn't go near Spieth this week. I wouldn't.
Yeah, it's weird, man. Like, I kept sitting there. I wanted him to play worse and worse and worse leading up to the Masters, so that hopefully his odds would be terrible and I could get him at a good bet.
Yeah, they haven't changed
for whatever
much.
Reason. And he's just not. He's not as high as he should be. You know, right. He's like. He's almost like a 17-1 guy or something like that to win the Masters. I mean, I'm looking right now at he's finished T30, T24, cut, tied for 54th, tied for 51st. Like, that's what he's done this year.
Jesus.
He's done nothing well. He didn't make the Tour Championship last year.
Right.
So everybody's thinking, like, Spieth, no chance. Yet he just always shows up at Augusta. Even last year, he wasn't playing that well.
Yeah, if it's a good drive on 18, maybe he wins in the last year.
Yeah, so he, you know, he's one of those guys that I feel like his odds should be worse, and then I would take him. But it wouldn't be surprised if he missed the cut and we didn't see him contend in a golf tournament for another year. And it wouldn't surprise me if he won the Masters and went on to compete in every event for the rest of the year. It's really bizarre. A lot of people love to harp on the fact that in 2015, when he had his crazy run where he won two majors, he could have won the other two, that he was just making between, like, 15 and 30 feet out, he was making putts that nobody on the planet should make.
Right, making
and
everything.
That once that went away, he's all of a sudden not the same golfer. But he was also a phenomenal iron player in that period. And when you're a phenomenal iron player and you putt really well, it doesn't really matter that much where you drive the golf ball, even though he's been kind of a shitty driver of the golf ball. So, you know, he's a guy, he's unpredictable. Bottom line, like, he's unpredictable. And it does give just an insane amount of, like, wowness to what Tiger did, because he was just always in the mix, always winning major championships.
Which good player, like, for me last year, the player I didn't want to see win won. Like, I just don't, I don't like Reed. I just think I enjoy the attitude and all that stuff, but I just think he's a fucking asshole. Stuff with his parents I can't stand, all that shit.
Okay.
Like who's the really good player who you, like, root against, like, if it's close? Who's a guy who's a top 10, top 15 player? You're like, I don't want to see this guy win this thing. It'll ruin the...
Yeah.
You know, the Masters for me is the most important sports week of the year. Nothing's even close unless it's a Ryder Cup year. And I hate when, like, a Trevor Immelman wins, or a Zach Johnson, or a fucking, you know, last year... Like, you know, I don't want the guys like that ruining my fucking Masters week.
Yeah, I agree. It feels like we've gotten too many of those recently. We had, like, Charles Schwartzel, who's boring.
That was boring.
We had Danny Willett, who's boring. Patrick Reed, who a lot of people don't like.
Right. I mean, at least he's not boring. I mean, at least you had Fowler and Spieth. Like, last year was a good Masters. I mean, the last 2 years have been good. The Sergio Rose one was fucking incredible. That was a great Masters. You're right, the Willett one kind of sucked, but go ahead.
My guy is Jon Rahm. I want to see Jon Rahm in the mix. I want to see him right there on the back nine of Augusta. Exactly.
Yes.
I want to see that fucking guy implode. I want to see him yelling, like, curse words in Spanish. I need that, just like we got at the Players. We got a little taste of it last year at the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
So the more that Jon Rahm
can play well last year, right?
He played well. He's in the mix. I mean, he's still a really young guy. He has proven that he can win on tour, but he's also proven in some of these big events to kind of lose his mind. He's a hothead and all that. So if he can blow up, I always root against the Euros for the most part, too. Obviously, like, U.S. Ryder Cup guy. So the more that he can kind of implode, the better.
You know, I like more than I did, like, a year ago, because I never really had an opinion of him. I actually like Kuchar now because he's, like, a fucking asshole. Like, I sort of, like, admire his assholeness now. Like, you know, the thing with the caddy was a total dick move. And this thing with Sergio, that was all Kucher's fault at that match play. Like, you just say, you know what, I gave it to you. Like, what? That was total bullshit.
Yeah, it
that was
it
bullshit.
Was,
you play golf. I mean,
it was
very easily
an avoidable thing. Like, he could have very easily just said,
you didn't hear me. Right. Like, I gave it to you. Then you're done.
Exactly. Any golfer would have done that. So it was like he knew what he was doing. Yeah,
totally.
It's easy to paint Sergio as, like, in the wrong, and sure, he shouldn't have done that. But also, Cooch, like, you know what you're doing, dude. He absolutely knew what he was doing. I still don't root for Cooch. I think he's boring. I think the fact that he's kind of like under the surface.
Well, he's like Don Johnson.
Kind of I don't like that.
I think he's Don Johnson like Tin Cup. Like, I think he's just like a dick who like plays his character on TV. And now in 2019 with Twitter and video, like, you know, you've seen all the pros who have gone out and basically said, no, this guy's an asshole. Like, he's a total fucking fraud.
I agree. I'm not a big fan of the guy. I get that you know, you're kind of like, oh, he's not just some boring, like smiling all the time. Cooch guy, so he's maybe a little bit more interesting.
You're saying
but
he should
I still
embrace.
Think he's an asshole, and yeah. I'm not rooting for him because he's an asshole.
Oh, let's get to the two. Well, what's before Mickelson? Any chance or no? He's done nothing since Pebble Beach.
I don't think so. I mean, he's a lefty. Lefties have done well here historically since Mike Weir broke through.
His record is incredible.
So I wouldn't say that he's got no chance, but also, I mean, out of kind of the crew of older guys who we'd love to see kind of contend and have a little bit of a throwback, I don't think that Phil Mickelson's going to be that guy. And, I mean, I don't think that I'm even really rooting for it. I'd like to see Phil contend at Pebble. I wouldn't like to see him really contend at Augusta. I'm not that into that.
Rory.
I don't know how you bet against Rory right now. The guy.
He seems like the favorite.
He's a favorite, and he should be. He's finished incredibly high at Augusta. For the last several years, he's finished incredibly high in every tournament that he started this year on the PGA Tour, including a huge win at the Players Championship. So Rory, I mean, if you really, like, we talked to a couple of, like, sleepers or guys that aren't necessarily at the top of the list. Rory is at the top of the list, and he should be. He's just got no real flaws outside of the fact that he goes through stretches where he can't really make many putts, but he hits the ball so goddamn consistently. He likes to hit that high draw. He's probably the best driver of the golf ball that's ever existed. So I don't really know how you root, or I don't know how you pull and like bet against Rory this week.
Obviously, the biggest story by far is if Tiger can be. He played last year, didn't play great there. Which is crazy. Tiger Woods hasn't won the Masters in 14 years, but he comes in here playing well. You know, playing better and better. He's got a real chance to win this.
He does. I mean, if you look, he's a 12th ranked player in the world, I believe. Sergio Garcia, when he won in 2017, was the number 12th ranked player in the world. So I don't really
He just feels
like
close, too, though. He just feels like he's close. I don't know.
He feels like he's close. I mean, he won, obviously, he's won a golf tournament on the PGA Tour for the first time in, like, almost whatever it was, 4 or 5 years. He's won a golf tournament on the PGA Tour since the last major championship that they played. It's not like he's not playing as well this year as, you know, you would expect after he won that golf tournament. But look. The guy's won there 4 times. He's the number 12 ranked player in the world, so it's not like he's playing terrible. And if he just gets himself in the mix late, you got to think he's got a chance. He's Tiger fucking Woods. It is crazy that he hasn't won a major since he was 32 years old.
It's wild.
Shocking.
It's wild.
It's an unreal stat to think about. But look, he's Tiger Woods, man. If he just he's got to get off to a good start. If he comes out and he shoots like 73 on Thursday, and we have to do another one of these things where Tiger like barely makes the cut,
right.
And he tees off at 9 a.m. on Saturday. I hate that.
Yeah, no, you need Tiger like 70, 69, 70, 60, something where he's like, you know, 2 or 3 shots out of lead in the weekend. And then it's, I mean, like, we say this, I feel like we say this every year, but between Rory going for the Grand Slam and Spieth and all his shit and Tiger and Mickelson and friggin', you know, you list the, I feel like there's as many storylines. And I love the Masters so much, it doesn't matter anyway, but there's so many storylines. I feel like this weekend is going to be fucking incredible. Like, CBS, and obviously, it's the best sporting event. First of all, the course looks great on television. The announcers are great. They're totally friggin' deballed. The Masters has them all by the nuts. And it's 59 minutes of live fucking television. And by the way, the Masters fucking app and the website is better than any in sports. They do every, this is my second straight year going there. They do, when you go there, it's perfect. They do everything right. Everything, even that, I was transfixed watching that fucking women's amateur last weekend.
Dude, it's incredible how clean they are with everything. It's like you said, the fact that like we've got all these other sports who are, you know, they've got leagues that go 6, 8, 9 months long, they're the entire year, then they got drafts and all this. The Masters is like basically 4 days of the year, and their app, their website,
it's incredible.
Blows everything else out of the water. It's legitimately not even close. They're streaming on their website. Like, the fact that you can watch pretty much any hole, it's perfect. It's HD. They put together like these 2 or 3 minute videos all the time after like everybody's round.
Right.
It's unbelievable how good they are at this. But you're right, man. Like, it almost feels impossible for there to not be an awesome finish with 5 different storylines going on. And we talked about it on the podcast that went out today, but like, there's almost no imaginable situation where Rory McIlroy isn't in one of the final 2 groups,
yeah,
which
right
there automatically becomes.
Yeah, Rory chasing the Grand Slam and trying to win the Masters for the first time. And yeah, that's – I mean, I think if you asked, you know, most people what the best storyline is, it would be Tiger in a runaway. It's just the way it is. But Rory is, like, a strong – if you can have Rory in the mix on Sunday, fucking home run.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the new crop, like, he's got the biggest star power by far.
Yeah, he's also kind of flawed, and he's sort of emotional. Like, he's not, you know, we talked about cookie-cutter boring guys before. Like, which is what I also like about Spieth is, like, and Reed in a way, like, these guys do wear their emotions on their sleeve. That's what I don't like about Dustin Johnson and Koepka. I mean, these guys are like, those guys are like robots. They're machines. They're fucking great. But, like, Dustin Johnson, for me, I can't get behind him. There's no emotion to him. I don't get, you know, when we grew up, there were guys like Ballesteros and Floyd and Watson and guys who, you know, they had some fucking charisma. Dustin Johnson and Koepka feel like they rolled out of a fucking factory.
Dude, no average sports fan is flicking through, stopping at CBS and being like, oh, Brooks Koepka's
no,
the master.
Yeah, you're just not
I
right.
Watch that.
Right. No, it's Tiger, it's McIlroy, Spieth, I think, Mickelson for sure. You know, there's, and like you said, so of the 10 or 12 guys we talked about, every year at Augusta, the leaderboard, there's going to be 2 or 3 of those guys. Now, I mean, if it was McIlroy and Tiger like it was a few weeks ago, that'd be a fucking dream scenario. But you're right, McIlroy, I pick Rose just because everyone's picking Rory, but if you had a gun to my head, if I had to pick a guy for my life online, I'd probably have to pick McIlroy, I guess.
I think you have to, and I just, again, like, he hits the ball so consistently that, like, and he's going to be able to reach. I mean, they've got 4 par fives where he's going to be able to reach pretty much all of them every single time. So right there, he's basically going into the weekend or going into Sunday at like 8 to 10 under par, almost no matter what. So it's like you almost can't even imagine a situation where that guy's not in the mix, and he's got the star power. You know, he's got the glow up thing going on where he used to be like this dumpy, like ridiculous looking, you know, Northern Irish kid.
Right,
now all of a sudden he signs with Nike, and he's like this jacked dude who's the biggest star in the game. He would be the 6th player in the history of golf to do the career Grand Slam, which is an awesome storyline. So, look, Tiger's always going to be the number one story until the guy can't even walk anymore, which might be way sooner than any of us hope.
True.
But outside of that, I think Rory being in the mix, trying to get that Grand Slam. He's been in the mix so many times. He had that collapse in whatever that was, 2011,
yep,
where he's like hanging his head on his driver on the tee,
right,
made triple on 10.
Yeah.
So for him to overcome all that, it would be, you got to think that would be the biggest storyline outside of Tiger.
All right, Rick, so tell everyone when the where you can get the podcast, when it's up, all that stuff.
Yeah, so we do a new show every Tuesday, every Thursday morning. Yep. We're on, you know, every platform where podcasts live. It's 4Play. You can find us on iTunes, on Spotify, all that good stuff. We interview a ton of different guys, a ton of different golfers. We've done, like I said, JT this year, Bubba this year. Just at the end of last year, we had Bryson DeChambeau on. We usually try to do like 30 to 60 minutes with these guys. And then whenever those guys aren't on, we just shoot the shit. We try to make people laugh. We do a lot of call-in shows now where we get guys that tell stories from, you know, working maintenance at a golf course to being caddies and all kinds of good stuff. So if you like golf, you like to laugh and not take shit too seriously, you'll probably like 4Play.
Who's the biggest asshole you've dealt with so far?
Oh, man. Biggest asshole. To be honest with you, we really haven't had many. I would say different people's agents. It's always the agents are the biggest assholes to deal with.
Okay. All right.
And I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to be a... I can't compromise my source.
I understand. No, I would never ask you to do that ever. Of course not. Of course not. All right. Well, Riggs, I appreciate it. I'll talk to you down the line.
Hey, man. Enjoy Augusta. I'm jealous.
All right. I'll check in. Thanks again.
See you, pal. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, man.